Cracks in the wall, blood on the snow, cracks in the wall, blood on the snow. The insurance company finally paid out. After months of stress and back and forth with Little's insurers, we received the compensation we were due. Now came the next hurdle, getting the place surveyed and starting repairs ourselves. We hired St. Denis Consultants Limited to prepare a structural inspection report for 102 Lehigh Road in Lewisham, our property, once a single dwelling, now divided into two flats. The inspection took place on 8th of July 2005. What they found didn't surprise me, but seeing it all written down made it real. A demolition crew working next door had used a JCB a little too carelessly. The machine struck the left side party wall, right near the second brick buttress. The damage was focused in the front left rooms of both flats. In the lower flat, the chimney breast in the front lounge had shifted by around 50 millimeter, no small amount. Cracks spread from the party wall through the ceilings and walls. The upper flat showed stress too, with hairline cracks forming around the chimney and at ceiling junctions. Externally, the wall was cracked and displaced. Some of the cracks had even been patched before. This wasn't the first time the building had been through a rough time. The conclusion: the chimney breast in the lower flat was beyond repair and had to be demolished and rebuilt. Cracks needed to be exposed and resin bonded. The estimate, £8,770 plus VAT. We needed someone we could trust. I turned to Artuk, our Polish friend who had brilliantly overseen the transformation of our cafe and manor house gardens. I showed him the report and the damaged walls. He looked it over, nodded, and said his team could do the job. The quote was fair, and I had every confidence they'd deliver. The only problem was timing. They couldn't start until after Christmas. They were heading back to Poland for the holidays. In the meantime, I had an idea. We were all living together then. Me, Diane, her children, and mine. Diane and her kids had never been skiing. So for Christmas, I booked a chalet in the French Alps. Not just a trip, an experience. Private chef, housekeeper, hot tub, the works. A proper winter wonderland. Christmas Day was spent on the slopes. We exchanged modest presents in the evening, the holiday itself being the main gift. Our resort had man-made snow facilities, so the slopes stayed ski-ready while we slept. Ben, always confident on skis, would take off on his own. One morning, he hit a patch with no snow and crashed, hard. He landed chest first and had the wind knocked out of him. What we didn't know at the time was how critical things were. When he eventually caught his breath, he made his way back to us, sore but standing. That afternoon, feeling braver, we ventured up to a higher green slope. It wasn't a black run, but it was a big step up from the nursery ones. Diane found it difficult from the start. Her ski boots were agonizing, and she just couldn't manage the descent. Caitlin and I were trying to focus on our own balance and couldn't assist. And then, out of nowhere, Ben appeared. Still sore from his crash, he saw his stepmom in trouble and stepped up without hesitation. He skied backwards down the slope, guiding Diane safely, her skis resting on his. It was one of the most impressive things I'd ever seen him do. That evening, we went out for dinner. Diane's feet were killing her, and Ben, usually full of life, was subdued. He had no appetite and went to bed early. Later that night, things turned terrifying. Caitlin shared a room with Ben and Remy. She was woken by Ben gasping for air. At first, she thought he was messing around and shouted at him, but when she looked closer and saw his blue lips, she knew something was wrong. She ran upstairs, screaming for help. When we got to Ben, he was fighting for breath. We called an ambulance. They arrived quickly and began the descent to the nearest hospital. The fall had cracked his sternum, and his lungs were swelling rapidly. Halfway down the mountain, a doctor met the ambulance to perform emergency surgery. I peered through the ambulance window and saw a flash of blood splatter the inside walls as the doctor pierced Ben's chest to release the pressure. It was gruesome, but it saved his life. Ben and I stayed in the hospital for 3 days. Diane and Caitlin stayed back at the chalet, while the other boys, Remy, Josh, and Theo, continued to ski. What started as a dream Christmas became a nightmare. Diane was shaken. "Never again," she said. "Christmas should be spent at home, with family, not on a freezing mountain." She wasn't wrong. Ben made a full recovery and never lost his passion for skiing. Over the following years, he would return to the Alps with his brothers, fearless as ever. Back in the UK, the new year rolled in, but Artuk still hadn't returned. I tracked down Roddock and his colleague, the main builders from our cafe project. Their English was non-existent, but with Google Translate, we managed a conversation. What they told me floored me. Artuk had told them I hadn't paid him. He gave them a bit of cash before leaving for Poland and claimed the rest would come once I settled my supposed debt to him. But I had already paid in full. I showed the builders my receipts and payments, proof that Artuk had lied to them. They were shocked, angry, and understandably so. I offered them a deal. Do the repair work directly for me, and in exchange, they could live in the flats rent-free while they worked, until we sold them. Diane and I had already made that decision. The stress, the mess, it was too much. They agreed and did an outstanding job. Eventually, we sold the two flats for £183,000 each. We'd turned a disaster into a solid profit. Diane took her share of the proceeds. I bought myself a sleek little two-seater convertible, a Chrysler Crossfire. I called it my midlife Chrysler. And as I cruised through Lewisham with the top down and the wind in my hair, I couldn't help but laugh. After everything we'd been through, it finally felt like I was driving forward, literally and figuratively.